Jack. Chase it down with Captain Party Time. They say the wheel's good, so I put it to the test. It's all a blur from there.
Declare an International Blues Music Day. Hi, my name is Johnny Childs, blues musician and president of the New York City Blues Society. To support this great cause, please join our Facebook group called Petition to Declare an International Blues Music Day. Join the discussion and let's create a formal day to celebrate blues music. From its legends and pioneers in the U.S. to the continually evolving pool of modern-day blues artists around the world. Let's celebrate our love for this great American art form and bring more recognition and support to blues music for many generations to come. Find our Facebook group called Petition to Declare an International Blues Music Day. This is Johnny Childs saying thank you for supporting the blues.
If you want to change the world, then you have to change yourself. One of the best places in the Metro Detroit area to improve your life is Henry Ford Community College. Henry Ford Community College offers dozens of degree and certificate programs, plus the opportunity to network with your peers and potential employers. Taking classes at Henry Ford Community College gives you the freedom to take your own career path and opens up an infinite number of career possibilities. Additionally, day and evening classes allow you the flexibility of building a schedule tailored to your busy lifestyle. So change the world, change yourself at Henry Ford Community College. For more information on admittance and financial aid and class schedules, call the Henry Ford Community College toll-free number at 1-800-585-HFCC. Again, that's 1-800-585-HFCC.
Looking for something to get into? Uh-huh. There's an event every Monday night from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Detroit's longest running hip hop show, The Zone Radio with Origins in D.C. on 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You can stream audio anywhere worldwide at www.whfr.fm. You know, get with us. The Zone, 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Mondays.
Log on or tune in.
This is WHFR, Dearborn.
And teach your parents well. Their children's hell will slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams. The one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
Hello and welcome to Parent Connection, You're listening to WHFR.FM, Making Waves, on your non-commercial radio station. I have a disclaimer for you because this is a pre-recorded program. Opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College. And hello and welcome to Parent Connection. I'm your host, Margaret King Ahmed. You can hear this program every fourth Monday of every month from 6 to 7 o'clock. In the studios today with us is Dr. Ryan Cooper. Dr. Ryan Cooper is a chiropractor, and he's actually going to be talking about health, healing, and well-being. Dr. Ryan Cooper, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Sure. All right. Well, this is very important for us because right now in this day and age, we are finding and noticing a lot in the schools with kids in very unhealthy situations. Some of it does relate to the way kids are eating. It does relate to inactivity. People are letting kids play too much even with videos and playing games on their video games or whatever. And there's not enough happening around getting kids, first of all, fresh air, sunshine, mm-hmm. those kinds of things. And I know that you have your own clinic and you have your own office and you see kids, you see parents. What do you want to tell parents? Because this really is a program for parents and future parents and young parents that are looking for ways to find alternatives or to be better parents or to mm-hmm. provide more for their kids in the way of health and well-being.
Well, absolutely. You know, Margaret, there's a lot of things I'd like to tell, you know, parents. It's just there's, which is we could, you know, talk for days and days and days on different things of what we could talk about. You know, but the big thing that is number one is we have to, as a society, really start to value our health more, especially our children's health. So I think it really boils down to it. Do you really value your health, okay? And do you want to take responsibility for it?
Okay. Can I just say something?
Yes.
Because even in my parenting classes,
yes.
I do notice that even the mothers
yes.
that are coming for these parenting classes, I have to mention to them
right.
that it starts with them. They
right.
have to begin by leading by example.
Right.
They have to take better care
right.
even of themselves.
Absolutely.
So go ahead.
Yeah.
You want to say
yeah,
that?
Yeah. It's just, you know, do the parents value their own personal health? Okay. I know they love their children, just like that song we just listened to.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, do they really value their health? Is health a priority for them in their lives? You know, and of course, displaying that message to your children and then taking the action steps forward. You know, if the why is big enough, the how and the follow through and the action steps that you need to take will happen for you. And greater health and well-being will happen for you. But that you have to have that why and hey, is this something, is health something that I want to place as a priority, just as much as education, just as much as socializing with friends and things? Is health a true value for my family?
Right, and it's interesting because it is also social, our
right.
eating habits and
yes.
and being proactive,
mm-hmm.
even when we go out to
mm-hmm.
eat and we're in social environments,
mm-hmm.
what are we really, you know, what's the message, what's the self-talk?
Right.
What are we saying? Oh, well, we're in this social situation,
right.
so it's okay if I drink and it's
yeah.
okay if I eat
right.
all these french fries and because everybody else is doing it and that
right.
should be okay. And
absolutely.
You can justify it that way.
So, yeah, there's social implications to it as well.
Right.
Margaret, I think it'd be great if I just talked a little bit about my background.
I was just going to ask you that.
And basically, what kind of where I got to where I am today and,
right.
and why I might have a platform to speak about the things we're going to talk about today.
Okay, perfect.
Throughout my young adulthood or young childhood and adulthood, I was actually significantly overweight. If you saw me today, I'm obviously in decent shape and, I don't consider myself overweight, but I was overweight as a child, and that was because the household I grew up in, my parents didn't make the best health decisions. You know, they both were smokers. They drank alcohol pretty frequently, and, you know, things like fast food and soda pop and things like that were norms in the household. We didn't go out to eat much, but it was, you know, those types of things were available for me to eat, and my parents weren't really on me about portion controls, and they weren't necessarily forcing me, hey, get outside, besides, you know, if I annoyed them or something like that, I had to leave. But, you know, so I didn't grow up with the healthiest of lifestyles, so to speak. Okay, it wasn't like I was just born, you know, healthy and fit. Mm-hmm. So I lived that lifestyle up until I was about 17 years of age, and it was just before my senior year in high school. And something just kind of came over me where I said, you know, this isn't right, right? I'm not happy with my weight. I wasn't happy with how I felt about myself, my self-image. I need to make some changes. And, you know, in the beginning, my main motive was probably girls, of course, you know, just like any guy at that age. But it worked for me, okay. Mm-hmm. So at age 17, it was my birthday. I'll never forget it. I started making some significant changes in my life, and I was active in sports and stuff like that, but I just bumped it up, and I really got on a better diet regimen and really watched what I started to put into my body. Mm-hmm. I started to watch how I felt about myself, and after about 3 months, I lost some weight, started feeling really good, and I looked good, turned out to be a handsome guy, and then I really noticed internally how much better I felt. And when I felt that way, it inspired me to say, hey, I want other people to feel this way too. And so when I went off to college, I decided to study exercise science because I was a huge fan of fitness and working out and kind of bodybuilding, that type of thing. And so I started studying exercise science, and I was a nutrition minor at Central Michigan University. And then about, you know, so during this time frame, every day I was, you know, living health. I was telling people what to eat. I was telling people you need to work out. I was
living by example.
Yeah, I
right?
was, you know, doing that and, you know, telling my parents, you got to quit smoking, okay. All this kind of stuff. And kind
get
of
on
getting,
the bandwagon.
Yeah, getting kind of crazy about it because I wanted them to feel how I felt.
Yeah.
But that was tough. Anyways,
yeah.
So what happened? Well, then I'm going through school, and I was personal training on the side while I was going through school.
Okay.
And I started to develop some other health issues. I have excruciating like neck and shoulder pain to the point to where I couldn't even really work out my left shoulder anymore. I was having some headaches. I was even finding myself pretty irritable at times. I was having some digestive issues as well. And with the neck and the shoulder pain, I was doing things and doing some physical therapy, and I wasn't a big medication user, so it wasn't like I was taking any medication or anything like that. And I was like, man, this isn't right. I'm doing everything right, you know. I'm eating right. I'm exercising. I'm doing these things. What's going on? How come I feel this way? I just didn't feel like headaches were normal,
right?
Because I didn't have them prior to that, so. Okay. My dad was seeing a chiropractor, and he said, Ryan, he goes, I think this guy could help you. Right. And my dad loved me, and I don't think he put me in harm's way. So yeah. I started seeing his chiropractor, and I started experience the results of chiropractic care. And again, it was kind of another one of those things where it inspired me to say, hey, this is something I want to do for the rest of my life. And so that's kind of how
that's
I got
how
into chiropractor, chiropractic care.
Yeah. I just want to ask you a question about the exercise science. What would that have entailed?
Exercise science is basically the study of exercise and how it affects the body physiologically. Okay.
Okay.
So when I exercise, what happens to my heart? What happens to my lungs? What happens to my brain activity?
Okay.
How does that influence me short term? How does that influence the human body long term?
Okay.
And then there's a whole section of exercise science to where there's a preventative aspect to it.
Right.
Okay. And a lifestyle aspect to it, you know, personal training, fitness consulting, things like that. But there's also, if people have health implications like diabetes, obesity, heart disease, COPD or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, you can prescribe exercise for these people to help them restore their health and well-being and improve.
So it's therapeutic kind of
therapeutic
exercise.
And rehabilitative.
And rehabilitative.
The name of my major was called Health, Fitness, and Preventative and Rehabilitative Programming.
Ah, okay.
And it's a Bachelor of Science degree at Central Michigan University. Phenomenal degree. We did things like exercise testing, and we did all kinds of stuff.
Really fun stuff.
Yeah.
That really probably really ignited you in such a way to go and keep pursuing this
path. So and then I also had the nutrition minor too, so I was big into sports nutrition and athletes and how do you improve somebody's performance and things like that. So,
well, I have to just ask you, because you mentioned your father went to the chiropractor, and I was like, wait a minute, you just gave us, painted this picture of your dad, who was really kind of a guy of ill health, you know? So how did that all come about?
My dad had back pain issues.
Okay.
And
was he obese? Was he
He said, you know, I don't know if he's technically obese, and I'm not sure what the exact numbers are.
Okay.
I'm not in school anymore, so... you know, but he certainly was overweight. And just he did a physical job his whole life, and he started to develop some chronic low back and hip problems. Okay. And his girlfriend at the time's daughter worked for a chiropractor.
Oh, perfect.
So he was at the house, or they were there sometime, and the guy was like, hey, you ever been to a chiropractor? My dad's like, no. And so he's like, well, my dad had an open mind. I will say that.
Nice.
Which was,
that helps.
I think, is important. And that, with my parents, I think that's one of the greatest things I got from them, was to really have an open mind about things, especially new concepts as far as chiropractic. And my parents also weren't big medication takers. They were kind of, they were a little bit more natural kind of thing.
Right.
And that's, you know, they probably, you know, that's probably why they smoked. And they smoked other things, too.
Right. Well, it's interesting, too, because you said he was having back issues. And that's usually when people get that wake-up call and say, oh, wow, my back is really sore, and now it's preventing me from being able to do this.
Right.
Or even get in and out of the car.
It's affecting
my
life.
Yeah, going up and down. Yes, and they always wait. So the preventative piece is usually missing.
Right.
But then people sometimes find that once they've had this chronic condition or issue that's, you know, really kind of nagging at them and they don't want to live on medicine for the rest of their life, then they start to look at the alternative. They have that open mind like you're talking about.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, like you were talking about preventative. That was something that you do cover even in your practice.
Preventative
of kind of. Okay.
Yeah. You know, there's basically two ways of restoring your health, and restoring your health, or facilitating healing within the body, or pursuing health. Basically, there's being proactive for your healthcare,
which you did when you were, you got to what, 17?
That's when I said, well, that was more reactive, because I got to a point where that, you know, so there's proactive versus reactive, and reactive. Making reactive choices or reactive healthcare decisions are basically you wait until there's a problem.
Okay.
Then you decide to seek help or care for it. Well, proactive care is where you seek care for your health and for your body on a continual, regular basis to prevent that problem from ever occurring.
Okay.
And how that came about really was Walt Disney. Okay.
Oh,
Walt Disney started this concept of what he used in his for his philosophy for his business. It was called cleaning clean windows.
Okay, so you'll have to explain that one.
In the boardroom, he'd get everybody together and he'd get everybody together and he'd ask his staff members or whoever, and he would say, he asked his janitorial staff one time, he said, well, when do you guys clean the bathrooms? And I said, well, Mr. Disney, of course, when they're dirty. And he said, well, wait a second. He's like, how about you clean them when they're clean? That way they never get dirty.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And
so this started this whole taking care of problems before they actually become problems.
The proactive.
And being proactive about things. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's apply that to my office. So somebody comes to my office, they have XYZ condition, and they want help.
Okay.
I get them started under care. We help them. They have children. Okay. They say, well, I don't want my children to get have the same problems that I have.
Right.
Let's get them started under care so that those problems never developed.
Right.
Dentists have done awesome with this concept.
Okay.
You know, it's like, what kid doesn't go to a dentist so that they prevent cavities, prevent tooth decay,
right,
and these long-term chronic conditions?
Right.
Chiropractors and medical doctors, unfortunately, have kind of gotten off that. You know, they haven't really pursued that. But now more than ever, people are saying, you know, it's like this baby boomer generation is saying, hey, I want the best for mm-hmm. myself. I want the best for my kids, mm-hmm. not only in education, but in finances and in health now. Okay.
Right. Well, the other thing is, too, though, I mean, this baby boomer generation,
right.
They have so much more. They have their information is accessible. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
So they can actually really get out there and say, well, I'm not going to just settle for any old doctor. I'm not going to just, settle even for this way. Maybe there's some alternative methods here
right.
that I can really start to pursue and embrace that will
right.
get me back to my optimal health.
Right.
So, yeah.
No, absolutely. And that's kind of the baby boomers have really spearheaded that.
Right.
And it's awesome dealing with these people because these people really demand a lot out of you.
Oh,
and
okay.
when you deliver, it's great. They think you're amazing. You
yeah,
know? So,
I can adjust to that really because in my parenting classes,
yeah.
we do the same thing. You give people some skills. You give them some tools. You give them some techniques. They go home. They practice it.
Yeah.
They practice it. And I know. I've been to your office. I've had chiropractor adjustments.
Yeah.
And it did. It really altered how I kind of walked and did things, and I even would think sometimes. And I didn't realize how much adjustment I really needed.
Right,
and sometimes it can be just a little bit, and it can make or break you. I mean, not break you. That's the wrong word to use with a chiropractor.
Yeah.
But it can really make or make a difference, really.
Yeah,
it can
absolutely.
Make a difference
absolutely.
In your everyday living.
Yeah, and that's that's not even without explaining what chiropractic care does for the body.
But
really, you know, we're at a point in society where, unfortunately, our children's health is suffering.
Yes.
And,
amen. I agree.
You think of all the chronic, you know, and it's mostly just the chronic illness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not talking about seasonal kind of flus or allergies and colds and common colds. Those have been around forever.
Right.
But, you know,
be.
You think of things like diabetes and, of course, obesity, learning disabilities,
mm-hmm.
Behavioral disorders, you know, those type of chronic conditions, meaning, you know, kids live with this on a daily basis throughout their entire childhood and, of course, into adulthood. It's at alarming. It's an alarming rate. It's higher than it's ever been, you know. And so I think this proactive way of living your life, starting with a parent, you know, and unfortunately, if you grew up in a more reactive type of, you know, where you're more reactive about your health rather than proactive, you know, you kind of got to switch your mindset.
Right.
And that's how I was. You know, I grew up with, you know, I only went to the doctors if I was sick, basically,
mm-hmm.
okay, not to maintain my health and fitness over my lifetime. So I think where the key is really adapting this proactive mindset to wait. I'm not going to wait until the condition arises before I start taking action for my health. Okay?
Right.
And then once you kind of develop that, then you just, you know, you seek guidance, you seek information and you go about it and apply it to your daily life and you start to experience the results and it's fantastic. So, and then once you achieve what you're going after, it's easy to maintain that, you know, and so that's the key. It's just getting started, I think.
Well, and that was interesting because I actually jotted down a note. It was like this, you gave us an account of how you got to where you are today, and what I realized is that you had some self-talk going on.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I think the self-talk is probably the most important
mm-hmm.
piece to this component because mm-hmm. what we find is people say, well, I'll just start the diet tomorrow,
or
I'll just look at this maybe a month from now, or for my next New Year's resolution,
mm-hmm.
and it really is something that is, it has to be addressed every day.
Right,
it has to be your way of life.
Yeah,
you know,
ultimately, it has to become a lifestyle.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I think the key is making certain decisions for your health that you can maintain. Okay.
Okay.
Going on the cabbage soup diet for a month. Okay, or whatever, you know, any X, Y, Z.
Oh, the grapefruit diet.
Yeah.
There were so many.
You know,
that's
not necessarily something that you can do.
Yeah.
Your whole life. Okay.
Right.
But you can add an apple to your diet every day.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
I do
you
that.
You can
so
add
I agree.
20, 30, 40, an hour, minute of walk to your diet every day.
Yes.
You can add a weekly adjustment to your day.
Oh, yeah.
Or to your, you know, to your healthcare regimen. And when you do that, that's what makes these things long-term. That's what makes you experience these things long-term. And then you start to get the results, and you pass this knowledge on to your kids, and then it's groovy from there.
Right.
So, I think it's really about making decisions that you see yourself doing for the rest of your life. And of course, society, everybody wants the quick fix, you know. It's
right,
like,
right,
it's like you know, lose 30 pounds in one day or lose 50 pounds in a month or whatever the case is.
Right.
We can't look at it like that, you know. Luckily, you know, when I decided to make some, you know, when I made that big decision at age 17, you know, I was able to turn my health around fairly quickly. I think it was about 2-3 months to where it was like, man, I was really making a difference.
And you felt like you had a handle on it.
But I was
it.
Also younger, too,
yeah.
And I didn't have responsibility. I wasn't raising kids.
Yeah, there you
like
go.
That. I just
right,
I was a
right.
high school student. You know, I played
right.
football, and that was it, you know.
Okay, so this brings
yeah.
me to this question,
right.
because parents are probably asking, oh, yeah, right, well, I put food on the table,
yeah.
and if they don't eat it, they're going to starve and this and that, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
if I don't give them all these choices,
yeah.
you know, then I've run into a problem, you know. But what is the best practice for at home? I mean, do we have to be thinking about the food groups? Do we have to be thinking about, because, you know, with these real stringent and strict diets, some of them were eliminating fat.
Yeah.
You need fat. Your
yes.
body does need a percentage
yeah,
of fat.
Absolutely.
Right? It needs
mm-hmm.
a percentage of sodium. It needs a percentage of sugar. So what would you recommend to parents that are sitting down with a family, and maybe there's some picky eaters?
Yeah.
What's the way to go here?
Well, you know, that's a great question. You know, there's lots of different dietary recommendations. You know, you have the ADA or whatever, the American Diet, or the, you know, the, yeah, American Dietetic Association or whatever that
yes.
has certain recommendations.
Okay.
And then you have, you know, there's lots of different specific recommendations on that. But I think what it boils down to, too, is where your health philosophies come from.
Okay.
You know, and that
what
brings,
the Constitution is.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And
okay.
where the big debate is are you living a more vitalistic healthcare model, okay?
Okay.
Or a more mechanistic healthcare model, okay? And let me kind of give, basically the vitalistic healthcare model is that our bodies are self-regulating, self-healing, self-absorbing, self-maintaining beings, so to speak.
Okay.
That have the ability to heal and the ability to function properly and things like that. Versus the mechanistic kind of healthcare model, where if you have a particular problem, it's either cut it out or drug it, and that's how you achieve your health. So if an organ's sick, you basically just remove the organ instead of trying to get the organ to heal.
Okay.
Does that kind of make sense?
Yes,
so,
it does. Yeah.
So if you fight, you find yourself following a more vitalistic healthcare model where you want to promote self-healing within the body. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You would probably pick vitalistic foods
okay.
for your health.
Okay.
Okay. So foods that come from Mother Nature or
mm-hmm.
Earth.
Okay.
Fruits, vegetables,
nuts and seeds.
Yes,
even.
Nuts
yeah,
and
legumes,
seeds,
yeah.
legumes.
Yeah.
More of a plant-based diet,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of processed foods, instead
right.
of, you know, heavily cooked meats and,
okay.
You know, those types of things, even maybe dairy product or cultured
okay.
products.
Okay.
You know, so really choosing foods that, you know, were once, you know, that are alive, basically. You know, when you eat an apple, that's alive thing you're eating,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of crazy to think about that, but it's you know, so that has certain properties. When you put it into your body, it really produces a tremendous result within the body, unless the apple's filled with pesticides and
it's covered and, with caramel or chocolate.
Yeah, you know, and things like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's a whole other debate.
M&M's
that's
or all.
Yeah,
whatever.
You know, it comes in a baggie that's already sliced for you.
Oh, now see, they do that.
Whatever, you know, at Subway, they have the little baggies of apples.
Apples already prepared for
already
you.
Already prepared for you.
Well, you know what? Listen, Ryan, really, the other thing is they have those in the schools now.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're treated. They have to be some preservative on them,
oh,
you know, so they can last a long time in a fridge or someplace
and
before they truck it from one school or one state to another,
You know, what was that? What soil was that apple grown in? Was it depleted soil?
Thing.
Was it, you know, so things like that. So, but like I said, that's a whole other talk. It's like, gosh, you know, it's like, you know, just try to eat apple. But, so, like, that's what I mean. So it's like, so when you sit down at the dinner table and you're putting food on the table for your kids, you know, where is that food coming from?
All right.
Okay. And I think that's a question we have to ask, you know, some of the kids, you know, and it just depends on what's going on in the household, you know. And believe me, it's going to be hard if you're used to feeding your kids more processed foods and foods that are you know, taste really good and things like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you're trying to get them to eat a Brussels sprouts or something like that. That's a little bit tough. But,
right.
You know, I think that's how we got to really base our decisions on.
Okay.
Do I want to follow more of nature's way?
Right.
Or do I want to follow more of man-made way?
Ah.
Okay. And what do you think is better for our body, nature's way or man's way?
Right.
Probably nature's way. Okay.
Right.
Since we're part of nature.
Right.
Okay.
And we started out that way, quite
yeah.
frankly. That's
yeah.
the way everything was
yeah.
Long before we were here,
you know,
right?
You study the hunter-gatherer society, basically. That
yes.
was, a, you know, it's what we were before we were held captive in homes and
right yeah I mean that's you know that's true
and,
we were held captive
yeah you
that's,
know now we're held you know held,
captive
you
in know, homes
yeah,
we really are
we're in our homes and we don't
yeah.
experience sunshine.
And then we have a television now
yeah
and it tells us all the things that we should buy and
yeah,
eat
yes,
and
yeah. and radio programs my goodness
and
yeah they're brainwashing
yeah,
us
right. Exactly.
But you know, so I think it's so when you study those societies, and this is another great question is, you know, if we wanted to be healthy, we would need to do what healthy people do.
Okay.
It's that simple.
Okay.
If I wanted to be rich, I would do what a rich person does.
Okay. right.
If I wanted to be spiritually connected,
right.
I would do what a spiritually connected person does. Okay.
Right.
If I wanted a healthy marriage,
right.
I would model what a healthy marriage
yes.
is.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we wanted to be healthy, let's do what healthy people do. Let's
right.
study healthy people.
Ah,
okay.
Perfect.
And that'll allow us to make better decisions and really, hey, is this something that's healthy? So for example, the hunter-gatherer society
right.
or hunter-gatherers, which is, you know, our ancestors,
right.
okay,
right.
Very healthy people. You know, really
right.
the only reason they died is because of they went off to war or they broke a leg on a hill and their bone was sticking out and they got infected and
okay.
they died, you know,
right.
but they didn't die of cancer. They didn't die of heart disease.
Right.
They didn't die of mental illness.
Right.
You know, these chronic type of illnesses that we see, they didn't have diabetes. These are all more newer things that have popped up in society within the last 100 years.
Since man started to manhandle the food.
Yes.
And
manhandle
food.
Our foods.
Yes.
And
genetically engineer
yeah,
them and
yeah
yes.
oh gosh you
yes.
know so when we look at those people, what did they do?
Yeah,
very physically active.
Yes,
very
sun up to sundown.
They yep. actually had to go out and hunt to get their food.
Right.
You know, they didn't eat breakfast first thing in the morning. Okay.
Yeah.
They went out and got their food and they earned their dinner basically.
Right. Well, I have this to ask you because
yeah.
I do have parents in my classes
yeah.
that actually say, "Yeah, but he's got to eat or she's got to eat breakfast. She just has to eat that morning,
yeah.
you know, food."
Mm-hmm.
What is your take on that?
Well, that's, you know, I grew up And they even teach us this in school and nutrition courses that you need to, you know, three square meals a day or
yes.
the six small meals and that type of thing.
Right.
But when I started really investigating this vitalistic model and really trying to follow more of nature's way for us, okay, or for your diet and stuff, really it's as simple as eat when you're hungry, don't eat when you're not. So some people
I like that.
Might be you know, and I know dietitians will get after me on that one, but you know, it's like, you know, and if you feel, if your body's, if you feel like eating steak and potatoes, your body's probably craving those nutrients. Our bodies, and this gets back to that vitalism, our bodies are incredibly intelligent. They're very smart.
Yes.
And if we get out of the way, usually it'll know what to do, you know. So if, we have hunger pains that are designed and created in our body to make us want to eat food.
Yeah, but then the brain kicks in and says, I want chocolate.
Right, I want potato chips.
I want. So yeah. I guess the first thing I would imagine people need to do is first get on the healthy track.
Yes.
And then cleanse. Well, let's talk a little bit about this.
Yeah.
The detoxing or cleansing, what is your take on all of this? I mean, is that something people should do monthly every 6 months? Like, you know, our checkup with the dentist every 6 months kind of thing? Well, how,
well, like
how
I said, that's another great question. And I think, if we follow, if we study the healthy people, okay, and the, like the hunter-gatherers and things like that, people that live very long, healthy, high quality of lives.
Yeah.
Well, what did they do? Did they cleanse? Did they detox and things like that?
Okay.
And you'll really look, they basically, their diets cleanse themselves. They ate foods on a regular basis that help cleanse themselves. Okay?
Right, right.
So, for example, you eat an apple, there's enzymes in apples that stimulates the digestive
tract.
Yeah. Okay. To get things moving out. So there's detoxifying properties in that. Water, drinking water on a regular basis is a tremendous detoxifier, okay? So if you find yourself toxic, if you find yourself, so say you're not following a healthy diet for the past 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life, okay? And you find yourself, you are toxic. Yes, it probably would be smart to follow some type of detox
program
or diet for a short period of time.
Okay.
One that's a, you know, a healthy method.
Okay.
To help rid your body of toxins or maybe get rid of some excess waste that have built up in your body.
But what would be some of the what would you experience though if you had toxins in the body? I mean, could kids have things like ADHD? Could autism be? I mean, this is a big reach. This is a stretch.
Yeah.
But would someone see signs of that hyperactivity, or even the opposite of that? Someone who's very lethargic
and fatigued
and things like that. Is that a sign of maybe toxins or metals or things?
Absolutely. Numerous studies have always pointed to that. And when you study a lot of the behavioral disorders, ADD, ADHD, sensory disorders, behavioral disorders, autism, things like that, usually these kids, when they do specific blood tests, there are levels of heavy metals within their bodies and things like that. And naturopaths have really, you know, kind of spearheaded that type of thing, where they really follow different therapies to help detox the bodies. That's not necessarily something of my expertise. I kind of refer out for that.
Okay.
But what my goal is when somebody comes into the office, is I want to put their body help somebody's body function better.
Align it.
Have somebody's body improve the functionality and the physiology of somebody's body internally.
Okay.
That way it is able to detoxify properly, because our bodies have the ability to detox on their own. We got to improve that mechanism and that ability within the body.
So even posture can have something to do with that,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Better posture, you get better oxygen to the tissues.
Right.
You know, and oxygen, you know, gets things moving and circulating better and things like that. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay, I got a little off track. But I apologize. I forgot where I was at.
No, it's fine.
But so... You know, yeah, those are specific current concerns you got to think about.
Right.
You know, and that's something that you investigate as somebody goes on the path of valuing their health goes on the path of, hey, I want to start getting proactive about my health.
Right.
I want my kids to be proactive.
Right. Well, one of the other things that...
And you'll find those things out on your own, basically.
And we do know that some of those metals do come from foods, obviously. But they come from environment.
Yes.
As well.
And now, you know, they do say that now in our environment, we have more heavy metals and toxins and pesticides and chemicals in our environment now more than ever, and our bodies are perhaps absorbing those through our water, through the foods that we eat, possibly in vaccinations. Okay.
Oh, yeah, we were going to talk about vaccinations.
And routine vaccinations.
Right. It's not in all vaccinations. It's in a few, or is it? I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm asking the question.
I'm personally not a vaccine expert. I have resources that I go to gain more information, and I have people that I go after or I talk to to help me with those questions. You know, I can't say that. I certainly know that every vaccine isn't the same.
Okay.
Even if you have an MMR vaccine. Measles, mumps, rubella, I'm sure, depending upon who manufactures that vaccination, there's different qualities and chemical properties that
are variations there.
But anyways, I think that's something we have to investigate.
Right.
It's something that we have to investigate, absolutely, and as far as, you know, potential toxicity that we're putting into our body. And I get questions a lot from parents asking, hey, you know, I'm nervous about this particular vaccine, or I don't know if I should or I shouldn't. You know, what do you think? So I get vaccine questions all day in my office because they know I follow more of a naturalistic, holistic, vitalistic way of health and way I look at the human body. Okay?
Right. And I'm sitting across from you, so I see that you're very healthy. I see that you really are, you lead.
Right.
By example here.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah,
so I can see why they would come to you and ask those questions.
And so I get them all the time. And so parents say, you know, are you against vaccines or are you for vaccines?
Yeah.
And my role as a healthcare provider, specifically a chiropractor, is I can't tell somebody to vaccinate or not to vaccinate.
Yes.
It's out of my scope of practice.
Yeah.
All I can do is provide information for somebody, like we're doing here with this talk show.
Okay.
Provide information so that people can make informed decisions.
Right.
Rather than, hey, this is what my parents did, so I'm going to do it. Or this is what the government says, so I'm going to do it. Or this is what my medical provider says I should do. But really putting the empowerment on the patient and the person to investigate on their own, to read on their own, and gather the information so that they can make the decision that works best for that individual.
Right.
So that's the goal in my office. And I provide resources and stuff. Now, I can say personally that I, for my health and my family, I am against vaccinations.
Okay.
And that's the decision that I've made. But that's been for, you know, hours and hours of study.
Okay.
And I just came to the conclusion that I feel it's safer to not vaccinate. And this goes across the board for all vaccinations.
Oh, okay.
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 Not just flu.
Oh, because I was going to ask you about the flu thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always been a question in my mind. I've never gotten the flu shot, and I don't have any intention of doing that ever. And I do know people get – some people have gotten violently sick from the flu shot,
the flu
shot. And I just feel like, no, I don't think I want to put myself through that. But that's my own personal decision.
Right.
Yeah.
That's your own decision.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And that's, you know, and some people might think you're crazy. Or
right, exactly.
Or you're somebody like myself.
And we can agree to disagree.
Somebody like myself say, well, way to go, Margaret. Way to make that decision, you know, just because I'm more probably more on your side of the fence. But anyways, so what I was getting at is basically, you know, we really have to, you know, investigate and not just put things into our body without knowing exactly maybe what it is.
Right. Because even when kids go to school, they are asked to, you know, they're told that kids can't come in unless they're vaccinated.
Right. Well,
so you have that issue.
Right. That is an issue. But it's not really an issue because luckily in the state of Michigan, we have an organization that spearheaded a movement that makes it so that in the state of Michigan, a child can go to a public school without having vaccinations.
Okay. For religious reasons or
for religious, philosophical reasons.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah.
And there's exemption forms that you can fill out.
Okay.
You can go to the State of Michigan Department of Community Health. You go on their website. They have exemption forms that you can print out and fill out, and you can send your child to a public school without having their vaccination records or giving them no vaccines. And that's a big question, because a lot of parents will say, well, don't I have to?
Right.
And that's not true. And I do have a quick website for that. It's the website you can go to that is called momvaccines.org. It's momvaccines.org. And it's called Mothers Against Mandatory Vaccinations or something along those lines.
That sounds right. And
it was basically a group started by moms, not chiropractors, not medical doctors or anything like that. It was moms that said, wait a second, I don't want to have to put this into my child if I don't have to.
Right.
And because they realized, well, you know, I don't know if this is completely safe.
Right.
And no vaccine has ever been proven to be completely 100% safe.
That's a fact. And no vaccine
has ever been proven to be 100% effective on what you're trying to achieve with it either. And that's a proven fact too. You can go on the CDC website and you can know that.
But in defense, though, did they wipe out polio or not with vaccinations? Did they wipe out?
That's a great question.
Right.
Some experts would say yes. Some experts would say no.
Okay.
Some people would say that polio was on its way out before vaccines were ever. Polio was on a decline before the first polio vaccine was ever developed.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
What saved that?
Yep.
Sanitation. You know, people started, you know, not drinking dirty water, you know, not, you know, sleeping where they go to the restroom.
Yeah, some of the common sense kinds of things that we want people to.
Proper sanitation, refrigeration, and curing of meats and things like that.
Right.
So that's kind of hygiene, basically, started to develop in that same time frame. And that's what a lot of experts feel, that's what decreased the polio rate and basically eradicated polio.
Okay.
Not necessarily
The vaccinations.
And so that's kind of how that whole thing developed. And and with viruses and bacteria, there's just seasons, you know, with it too, where you'll have and unfortunately, you know, I do recognize polio is a devastating disease process, and anybody that's suffering that, I feel for them, it stinks. And I'm not saying that, you know, that the people that are trying to help people with polio and prevent it and things like that aren't doing a merit job. But, you know, but we also got to look at the science, too, and what are the facts, okay?
Right.
So, but anyways, so, you know, it just might have been a particular time frame in human history where this particular strain of virus came through and maybe part of natural selection and things like that and came through to evolve our species, basically. You know, giraffes that had short necks, they didn't eat food, so they died. So now we have a bunch of giraffes with big necks. So it's really, you know, you know, that's kind of what happens. So I'm sure, like I said, nature has its ways.
And
nature wins.
Right. So I want to talk a little bit about the obesity question is really important, and I want to address that a little bit here. So if we can really empower parents get them on the right path to help their kids be more healthy and eat better, like more natural instead of processed foods.
Right.
We might see healthier kids then, and if they're outside, they're playing, they're getting the sunshine, there should be healthier kids.
Right.
And how does that pan out as far as kids, you know, if they adapt or embrace these kinds of lifestyles or this lifestyle, what happens in school? Are we going to really, will we see the benefits of that academically? We see the benefits of that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I based on my personal experience, you know, when I felt better physically, I felt better mentally. And anybody you can ask that question to.
Right.
You know, if you feel better physically, you know, mentally, you're clear-minded. You're more aware. Okay. You have less distraction or less fog going on.
You're a better decision maker too,
better
I think.
Better decision maker.
Yeah.
You're obviously more happy.
Yeah, that's true.
You
that's
value true. Yourself more.
Right. So self-esteem is there.
Confidence
is there. Maybe motivation is then
yeah,
there.
Yeah, develops from that.
Yeah.
Compassion develops
yes,
from that. So,
yes.
You know, those are extreme. Those are qualities that can really, really, you know, change an outlook with a child, okay?
Okay.
So, ultimately, if you feel better physically, you're going to feel better mentally. You're going to act better socially.
Right.
Okay. You're going to, like I said, that's it, compassion. You know,
so
it's
you're
like
focused, too.
Yeah, you're
concentration.
Focused. Yeah, concentration. So would you get better grades?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, would you get better grades? Yeah. You know, would you behave better? You know, would you show more respect to your
or
to your teachers, to yourself,
and
to others? Absolutely.
Right.
Would you be less likely to, you know, throw your garbage on the grass?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, those little things go a long way. You know, people that feel better physically, they act better mentally and socially, and they make better decisions, you know. And that's one of things that really drives me at this point and to building my practice and building my community is I believe that healthier people create a healthier planet.
Ah, yeah, and right in your community. I love that word,
yeah.
The community, because that's
mm-hmm.
where it starts. I mean, you're in a community.
Mm-hmm.
You branch out to that community.
Mm-hmm.
That community branches out to people
yep.
beyond the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that. Yeah, it's that trickle-down.
It's that,
yeah.
It's that really.
Yeah.
And we the bigness of that and the,
yeah.
realizing that the decisions that we make as a parent and the decisions that our children make
Thank you.
Impacts the world.
Yes.
Either a little bit or a lot of bit.
Right.
Just depending, you know.
Well, I have a different question because, all right, let's say people are eating healthy. Let's say we have a child that wants to just be a vegan
right.
or a vegetarian.
Right.
What is your response to people about should they take vitamins or not? Should we give kids these multivitamins? Is
yeah,
that a gray area?
Yeah,
what are we doing here?
That is
a
little bit of a gray area. And those specific questions are maybe a little bit about out of my expertise
okay.
at this particular moment.
Okay.
Okay. But again, I always come to it with this thing that, again, if we're following more of nature's way and we're eating live, healthy, fresh foods on a continual basis,
we know where our food
we
is
probably
from.
Would
yes.
need less.
Okay.
Multivitamins.
Supplements.
Less supplements and
more
things.
Water.
More water. You know, so those types of things, you know.
Okay.
So that would be, you know, certainly more of a question for somebody who's an expert in that particular
okay.
field. And but it also comes down to an individual basis. So,
okay.
you know, for everybody's different on what their needs are going to be.
Right.
A young baby might have a zinc deficiency.
Okay.
And we need to address that zinc deficiency, okay?
Okay?
Is it because they're not getting it from their food or their, you know, things like
right.
that? So
right.
those are that kind of questions more of an everybody is a little bit
different
on what specifically
okay, so
their body would need.
Okay.
Somebody who's more aware of their body, typically if you're paying more attention and you crave a particular fruit or vegetable or
right.
a piece of meat, that's your body's way of saying, hey, I need to replenish this in my body. Okay.
Right. So some people can actually be vegan.
Yeah.
It's not a problem. Some people cannot,
mm-hmm.
Or vegetarian.
Right.
I have a niece actually who tells me she has to have a steak every week. She just, her body craves it.
Right.
She needs it. That's the iron. And I think that has to do with lifestyle.
Right.
I think it's the, you know, the stress that we have on our body.
Right.
And how we deplete maybe the adrenals and all that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
It, like you said, it's an individual,
it's
I
kind
suppose.
Of like an individual thing. Everybody,
yeah.
you know, individually has certain needs that their body these needs and as a healthcare professional I try to address that with every individual that comes into the office, you know. So so you know, that type of question, you know, is a multivitamin good for everybody?
Yeah.
And then we got to evaluate this. Does that multivitamin, how high
quality
of it?
Yes.
Okay, is
yes.
it made with man-made chemicals and things of that, or is it
synthetics.
More fruit? Yeah, is it synthetic or
yes.
is it more derived from foods and things like that. So,
right, good point.
You know, so I think that's a great question, but it's also kind of tough to answer too
okay.
at the same time.
Okay.
And that's, again, I think it's just more of an individual basis. You can't say that everybody would need a multivitamin.
No.
I don't, personally, I don't take a multivitamin, but that's because, you know, but
yeah.
I eat certain foods. Like I had a drink today that was fortified.
Well, let's talk about some of those drinks on the market today.
Yeah.
You know, you have some of these protein shakes, you have some of these pick-me-up kind of drinks, and mm-hmm. what is your thinking about that? What is your thoughts on that? I mean, do you want to encourage kids to do that?
That is, can I tell you a little story?
Yeah.
Gandhi, okay.
Yeah.
This mother brought her child to Gandhi. Yeah. She traveled 300 miles to go visit him. And she brought her child to Gandhi. He said, Gandhi, you got to help my child. He eats too much sugar. He's eating way too much sugar. It's driving me nuts. It's driving everybody nuts. You know, it's not good for him. I'm worried about him. Please tell him to quit eating sugar.
Okay.
Gandhi says, come back in 1 week and I'll tell you. Okay, I'll tell him.
Okay.
She goes, Gandhi, we traveled 300 miles,
to seek your guidance.
And please tell my child. He said, come back in 1 week. Okay, come back in 1 week, and I'll tell you. So she goes, okay. So she travels back, and she comes back in a week later, and she goes, Gandhi, will you please tell my child to quit eating sugar? And Gandhi looks at the child and said, son, you need to stop eating sugar. It'll damage your health. The mother says, well, why didn't you tell me this last week? He goes, well, at that point, I was eating sugar, too. So my whole purpose of that story is I can't tell a child necessarily not to drink an energy drink. I drink energy drinks, and I don't make it, the only thing I drink throughout the day.
Right.
But, there may be a couple, three times a week that is something that I drink.
So, again, it's probably the brand.
Right.
Read the labels,
right.
Know exactly what you're ingesting.
Right. So, I think that's the
proactive
key. Yeah, I think it's, again, that comes back to that proactive behavior where you need to investigate and not just blindly put things into your body without knowing exactly what it is, how it influences the body. Okay.
Yeah.
I can certainly tell you this. Would an energy drink, three of them a day, for a child growing through growth and puberty and things like that, would that be good for them? Absolutely not.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The caffeine's a diuretic. It's probably depleting them of certain vital nutrients and things like that. It's probably stunting growth.
Right.
The sugars are probably rotting their teeth and rotting their pancreas and the case.
Yeah.
So,
Okay.
So in moderation,
common sense,
moderation,
right?
Those types of things.
And watch for the signs. What happens to me when I drink this drink? Do I get the shakes?
Yeah. If you experience side effects from something, not good. It's your body's way of ejecting it and getting rid of it.
And that gets back to how you were saying how intelligent the body really is. And if we can pay attention to to what the body is actually communicating to us. But the way we do that is, first of all, by starting with this consciousness of eating healthy, having a healthy lifestyle, and then we can pay attention to those things.
Right.
So if we get a welt or something, we break out somehow, and we know, I just had this, and maybe this could be a reaction from this.
Right.
This could be an allergy. Then we know that we have to do an elimination thing or
absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely. And that's what you would seek a healthcare provider for, who would help you through that process. And that's basically all I do in my office is basically when patients come into the office, we really focus on how intelligent the body is.
Right.
Hey, let's pay attention to that. And let's remove any interference to that natural intelligence within the body.
Okay.
I always say, nature needs no help.
Ah.
It just needs no interference.
Right.
So as a chiropractor, I remove interference to the body's nerve system.
Okay.
And find ways to remove that interference to that nerve system. That way the nerve system and the body can function as best as possible.
Okay.
And ultimately, whole body function is better in the body. And that's a process of healing that takes over time. Okay.
Right.
That's why within my office, we help with all different types of conditions.
Okay.
Of course, people with neck and back pain and chronic pain and headaches and things like that. But also conditions as ADD and ADHD in children. I help autistic children in the office. Severely handicapped children, cerebral palsy, and basically anybody with a spine and a nerve system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works.
and then we have patients that come in for wellness ongoing reasons, this proactive health style.
Right, and preventative.
To prevent certain things from coming about. And it's what's great is chiropractic is such a passive thing. You basically just come into the office, and I evaluate you, and I treat you, and then you experience the benefits. And then what's great is when you feel better physically and mentally, you start to make better decisions from there. So it's like, it's almost like we have to raise the health status or the health index of an individual first.
Right, right.
Everything else follows.
Follows suit. Okay. I do want to have to take just a second here to say that you're listening to WHFR.FM. This is a pre-recorded program. I'm Margaret King Ahmed, the host of Parent Connect Connection, and in the studio with us today is Dr. Ryan Cooper. He's a chiropractor, and he came in to tell us all about health, healing, and well-being, and he's given us some points of views and some opinions and some ways to really become a little more proactive in our attempt to preserve and uphold some health and lifestyle of healthy, you know, healthy lifestyle. So I just wanted to make sure I also take a second to thank my producer, Roger White, because I run out of time and I always forget to do it at the very end. So, Roger White, thank you so much for helping produce this program. I really appreciate it. And you can hear this program anytime after, for this particular pre-recorded program after February 26, but the show is every fourth Monday of every month from 6 to 7, and you can get it on the podcast. You just go under, I think, talk forum and click on that, and you'll be able to find us. So I want to give Dr. Ryan Cooper a chance to just give some closing remarks, and of course, thank everyone for tuning in and for him to be here as well. But Dr. Ryan, any final words or websites or anything you want to give to our listeners?
You know, I just my goal is I just want to encourage people to embrace a healthier lifestyle. Really to embrace that and seek people that want to support you and that want to help you do that, to help improve the quality of your life and the quality of life for your children. Nice. And seek that guidance and really start stimulating some things in your mind and your heart to get proactive about your health and achieving certain health, you know, aspects and all that. And I promise you, when you feel great about yourself and your children feel great about yourself, you never want to go back.
Right.
It's
you break that chain.
You break that pattern. You break that pattern.
Yeah.
And it's like, gosh, it's like,
I didn't know life could be so wonderful,
I didn't know life could be this way. Not to say that everything's peachy.
No, of course not.
Everybody's got issues, but it's just when you really achieve that and you experience that, you feel on top of the world, you feel like you can do anything, and what's great is you want to spread that message to other people and allow people, you give permission for other people to live healthier lives too.
Yes.
And when that happens, people love you, and it's fantastic. So I encourage everybody to just take a step, start making some better decisions, seek the guidance, seek the help. People want to help you. I want to help you. Yes. Margaret wants to help you.
Yes.
And do that, and you'll be just fine.
All right. So plant that seed to better health and fitness, and it just takes just that little baby step or that little baby seed and start somewhere. Start drinking more water. That would help, right?
Yeah.
Start drinking more water. Get outside. Get some fresh air. Get some sunshine. So thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you so much for being here.
Oh,
I appreciate you being here, and we'll catch you next time. You're listening to WHFR.FM on your FM dials. We're making waves.
Parents well, their children's health.